What's up, everybody? Welcome to Howdy Radio, the Next Generation, episode 57. I'm Brandon.
I'm Lane.
And I'm Tyler.
Tyler's here with us today. What's up, Tyler?
Not a whole lot.
How you been since the last time we talked on Howdy Radio? The last time I talked to Tyler was when he was on Howdy Radio. I haven't talked to him since then.
That's very true. I've been all right. Little bored recently.
Yeah. When was the last time you were on Howdy Radio?
I genuinely can't remember.
Was it?
There's probably an in-between between when we did the Disney one and this one.
I don't remember
one. Sometime in between there.
Maybe the Horror Hound episode we did last year together.
That was a while ago. I feel like that was...
It was a year ago. Horror Hound was supposed to just happen.
Yeah, I feel like... But we definitely did have something in between that.
I don't remember. All right, so unfortunately, we didn't get to do a Horror Hound episode this year since it got canceled. I mean, that's not why we've got Tyler on the show. I just figured, let's just get Tyler on the show. How you been, Tyler?
I'm pretty good. I'm happy to be here.
Cool. Have you been on any other podcast or anything since the last podcast you've done with us?
Nope. I am the Next Generation exclusive.
Ooh, that's pretty nice. All right. Do we have to pay you extra for that?
Maybe like 50 cents. Oh. Just to cover how much gas costs now.
Gotcha. Gas is... Oh, yeah, because it's cheaper, pretty much, right? One of my friends at work got gas for 88 cents the other day.
That's ridiculous.
You guys realize that the cost of gas right now is like negative $37?
Because what?
Earlier in the week, the price of a barrel of gas, and this is like unprecedented, like never happened in like current times, a gallon of gas is worth negative $37.
In a row?
In a row. There is so much excess gas that it's like the equivalent of you going to UDF, filling up, and they give you money because they want to get rid of it.
Well, all right then.
Now, of course, that savings will never be passed on to us, although gas is going down a little bit, but that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, other than gas prices, what else has been going on? What have you guys been doing in your quarantine time over the last week or two since we last did a show?
I've been playing a bunch of video games with friends.
What are you playing?
A lot of GTA and Minecraft.
GTA and Minecraft.
And Uno sprinkled in there.
Isn't Minecraft, like, so 10 years ago?
11 years ago, but yes. I mean, it's just one of those games that, like, just genuinely, you can't get bored of it. Because, like, I don't know, there's just something about it that, like, it can't age. Like, Fortnite was, like, it was cool for a hot second. But then, like, after a while, you do things that changes the game. And people start to dislike it. But Minecraft, the fundamentals of it is you walk on squares. I don't know how you can ruin that.
Okay.
Yeah. There's not any, like, game-changing mechanics that ruins the way you play the game.
You can create a new map like Fortnite did. It's just, you just spawn in and you just do whatever you want.
Like, the only, like, big updates on Minecraft is, like, now you have bees instead of, like, now there's this new gun that is, like, one shot and it's impossible to counter or anything like that, so.
All right. Well, about you, Lane? Have you been playing anything different or just Rocket League?
I've also been playing a little bit of Uno, which I got Uno Flip and the Rayman one. Those things are, like, on crack. It's crazy.
Yes.
I've been playing that. I've been playing a lot of Valorant recently, which is a closed beta game that everybody's kind of playing right now.
Cool.
And then, yeah, also Rocket League, which I finally got champ this week.
Oh, good.
So that's actually kind of cool.
Good. Nice job, champ.
Yeah. Mommy's little champ.
Cool. I've been playing Animal Crossing some more, and I got stuck on Final Fantasy VII Remake, so I haven't played it in a couple days.
Nice.
That's about it. I got new controllers for our Switch. Our Switch has had terrible drifting problems for a long time now, and I started playing Animal Crossing every day, and I was like, I can't do this anymore, so I finally bought new controllers.
I need to start playing Animal Crossing again, because that was the reason why I walked away from it, because like, you tried to do very basic tasks, and your character was like, nope, we're just going to walk away now.
Yeah, it was pretty hard. But it's good to go now. You need to get in there and tidy up your little area there. You do, Tyler.
Me tidying up was just deleting everything that had my name on it.
Yeah, Lane got rid of his house because he said he wasn't going to play it again. So I'm like, well, get rid of your house. And I've now turned it into a money tree forest. So the space was put to very good use.
Okay.
So at least you know that. Cool. So
if I would have came back and there had just been a bunch of turnips everywhere, I would have been mad.
There's turnips all over my island right now.
Oh my goodness.
Turnips suck. So, I mean, turnips are fun because of, you know, if you don't know how they work, it's, you can buy them only on Sunday mornings, and then you can sell them throughout the week, and the price changes twice a day throughout the week. So the goal is to find a higher price than what you paid for them, sell them, make a bunch of money. The crappy thing about turnips is that, like, you have the storage built into your house, but you can't put turnips in that. You have to just, like, drop them, and they're just laying on the floor or on the ground. So I had to make 3 trips to Dave's island today because he had the best prices on turnips. And as I come back, I just walk onto my island and just drop them as soon as I get there. And last week, that's where they all sat until I took them somewhere to sell them.
Huh.
So it's kind of a pain.
Are they planted or are they just, like, dropped?
They're just sitting there.
Should at least plant them.
Are you able to plant them?
No, you cannot. No, I accidentally ate 10 of them earlier, and that it fills up your, like, health bar thing. But it's a really expensive way to fill up your health bar instead of just grabbing 10 apples off the tree. Yeah. So.
Gotcha.
Have you guys been, like, watching anything?
So we'll get to watching here in a few minutes. Our main thing that we're going to talk about today is all these different bands and all this stuff that keep doing different live streams during the quarantine times that we're in. And we've watched a couple of them, and I thought we'd talk about a couple of them. That's going to be our main topic for today. So we'll get there in a minute. And I don't think we really have anything other than that to talk about, so we'll just be winging it for most of the show.
Yeah.
But not including, like, live streams or whatever as far as TV goes. No, I haven't really been watching anything out of the ordinary. We've been watching Step by Step, the old 90s sitcom, during dinner for the last couple weeks. The kids, I mean, I guess you guys should talk about it instead of me. It was something I was a big fan of, that show, when it was on when I was a kid. I always liked it a lot. And then I just started going through some of those old 90s shows during dinner one night, and I was like, you know, we could watch Step by Step, we could watch Family Matters, we could watch there was a couple others, and we kind of did watch through a few different ones, and I think the kids were definitely definitely into Step by Step more so than any other show. So why is that?
It's kind of different. I only watch, like, the Full House kind of things. Like, I love Full House a lot, but Step by Step is definitely, like, a riskier and more appropriate for an 18-year-old Full House.
Okay.
It's like definitely, it's definitely
made
for
more, like, teenager related, like, episodes.
There's
it would be Step by Step.
See, I'm not even I watched the show when it was on. I don't remember what year it came out, but so I don't remember how old I was when I started watching it, but I didn't have any memory of, like, it being more of a PG-13 version of Full House. Like, I didn't remember that, but, like, as I watch it now, I definitely noticed that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, oh, they'd never make that joke on Full House or whatever. So it was a little different than that.
Yeah.
Or even, like, now, like, even on, like, the same platform as if it was, like, projected to be a PG-13 kind of thing. I still feel like even some of the jokes are just, like,
Well, there's a lot of jokes they wouldn't be allowed to say now because they're bad women jokes or
there
just
was the entire episode where his older friend was going to commit suicide, and if that goes on TV now,
that was one of the funniest episodes.
That was amazing.
It was a funny suicide episode, and no, you cannot make a funny suicide episode in 2020. So
I put those two words together.
And, like, the whole episode, we were like, "Yep, can't say that."
But
now.
you guys dig
now.
That though, like, being 2020 kids that you are. Aren't you supposed to be all like, this is not funny, you cannot make those jokes? Isn't that how we're supposed to be now?
I don't know if you're in the same boat, but I definitely have a very dark sense of humor.
Yeah.
So I
we
find
all do.
Like, I mean, I support people in suicide?
Yeah, it's
no,
like,
but, like, suicide-based jokes on a sitcom, I find funny.
Okay. Right on.
But I finished Better Call Saul. And the season finally ended, so now I gotta wait, like, 15 years for the next last season. So
gotcha. That's something I'm really wanting to watch, but I just haven't pulled the trigger on starting it up yet.
But and I also started watching a little bit of Westworld on HBO. Shows are so weird.
I don't know anything about that show at all.
It is. You wouldn't like it. It's, like, really, like, sci-fi, like. Nerdy kind of thing, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. It's, speaking of that, I've slowly started to watch some Star Trek with Mama.
I shouldn't have said anything.
I mean, it's not like a huge talking point. It was just...
I know, but you said the word Star Trek on our show.
My bad.
You're not exclusive. You're fired.
Yeah, I never got into Star Trek. That's not my thing.
I think it's just as topical as Step by Step is sometimes.
Yeah.
And I kind of like shows that just, like, topical, but, like, it, like, doesn't age badly. Yeah. Like, the topic is, like, still relevant right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Step by Step, I don't feel... I mean, even though it is a very 90s show, like, it's not... Yeah. I don't feel like it's aged badly, though.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And, like, even when, like, it's very predictable, like, there was one episode where, like, she was driving, and she shouldn't have... And she, like, hit the car into the house. Yeah. And then, like...
Of course she wrecked the house. Of course she got caught. Of course she got in trouble. And...
But it was, like, before the scene started, I was, like, he's going to open or close the door, and this door is going to, like, fly off or something. And then he closes the door, and the thing, like, falls off. I was, like, I knew it, but it's still, like, really entertaining.
Sometimes that's the best part, is to, like, know what's going to happen, and whether you know it's going to happen or not, to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
And, like, just experiencing it.
Yeah.
It's just as good.
Yeah.
Cool. I would have started the show from the beginning if I know that we were going to sit there and watch it every night with dinner, because I just, like, randomly clicked an episode somewhere in the series at one point to just be like, hey, check this out. And that was, like, season 3 or 4 or something, and now we've just kept going from that spot. So you guys have missed the total, like, you know, early part of the show. So, I don't know. Maybe go back and watch it later, or maybe we start. I don't know.
How many seasons are there?
5 or 6, maybe. I'm not 100% sure. It was a pretty successful show when it was on. I think it was a part of the TGIF lineup on Friday nights. Have you guys heard of that at all?
Guessing the mainstream shows on Friday, the sitcoms on Friday.
Yeah, it was like a 2-hour block of those type shows on Friday nights that was a pretty popular time. Now Friday nights is where shows go to die, basically. But this one was a Friday night. It was like Family Matters, Step by Step, and probably a couple of the other ones that we checked out during this time. I don't remember what else it was, though.
Yeah.
They changed in and out every once in a while.
Yeah.
But it was cool to sit down on Friday night and watch those shows.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, we got anything else, or we want to just go ahead and get into the whole what's been going on in the live streaming world?
I don't think I have anything.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything either.
Let's do it. All right, so one cool thing that's happened because of all of this coronavirus quarantine situation that we're all living in now is that all kinds of bands and, I mean, not just bands, but just like a bunch of Hollywood people just in general, famous people in general, everybody's doing live streams now. That's like the big thing, right, is that everybody's doing live streams.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool. You know, I don't know why bands can't do this when it's not quarantine time. Why does it only have to be a quarantine time thing? And I hope that maybe this kickstarts something that becomes more of a regular thing. Like, why not just play some songs or whatever?
Yeah.
So there's been a few of them here lately. Is there any ones that you guys have watched that have kind of been ones that you would like to talk about? Or we'll get to the funny one here in a few minutes. We have one that is definitely the worst one of them all. And there's no arguing over that. It's fact that it is the worst one of them all. So any ones that you guys have watched that you've liked so far?
Post Malone did one a couple of days ago on Friday. It was a Nirvana tribute, which I thought was kind of cool. Because I said something before that was like, I want to go to his house because his house looks so freaking cool. But then you were like, that's what they're all trying to do. They're like, oh, look at my cool house. But like, his house is like really cool.
Yeah, the bar and everything behind him.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of money.
Super cool.
I am not a Post Malone fan. He seems like a pretty cool guy, like just as a person. I'm not a big fan of his music. It's just not my style. But I thought the Nirvana show that he did was awesome. I thought it was really good. From start to finish, it was very good. It had Travis Barker on drums. He's the drummer of Blink-182, who I do not like Blink-182 whatsoever, but I love Travis Barker. I think he's a fantastic drummer, and he's very similar.
Is he in anything else that you would know him that would make you actually like him?
So he did, my favorite thing that he did was, I think it was I don't know if Blink-182 was still a thing at this time or not, but it was like maybe around 2005 or so. He did like a super group style album with the singer of Rancid was the singer and guitarist. Travis Barker played drums on that.
Okay.
It was called The Transplants. It was like a punk rock album.
Is that similar like them Crooked Vultures? Yeah. Like how that band exists?
Yeah, very similar, yeah. And that's my favorite album that Travis Barker has put out. I like that. And they put out a couple albums, and they were really good. I don't really know anything else that Travis Barker has done personally. But he's a good drummer, and he's very similar in style as to like how Dave Grohl was back when he played with Nirvana. So I thought it was a really good fit for them to choose him to be the drummer. I didn't know the guy that was playing bass. I'm not sure who
he
was.
I think that's his guitarist and bass that he has like on tour.
At one point during the live stream, Chris Novoselic started watching. He is the bass player of Nirvana. So Post Malone made a joke. He's like, "Oh, Chris, man, I wish you would have been here earlier. We got stuck with this guy playing bass. much rather would have had you play." Courtney Love was watching at one point, and they were all like saying how great of a job they were doing, and that's got to feel good from Post Malone's point of view. It's obvious that he's a Nirvana fan.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a greatest hit set. It wasn't just Nevermind. Yeah. Those songs that, you know, like School from Bleach, which is one of my all-time favorite Nirvana songs. It's not one that people mention a lot, but he played that one. It was awesome. My only problem with the entire thing, and which is not really a problem, obviously Post Malone is sponsored by Gibson Guitars. Kurt Cobain never once in his life, I don't know that he ever even owned a Gibson guitar. He always played Fenders, always. So to watch somebody play a Nirvana show with a Gibson Les Paul around him was a little weird.
Do you have a Fender?
I have a Fender and a Gibson, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I make sure that I have both of them covered. But I'm not in Post Malone's situation where they pay him millions of dollars to use their equipment.
Yeah.
If somebody paid me millions of dollars to use their equipment, I wouldn't have a Fender sitting here either.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a really good show. So kudos to...
But like, it still sounded good and everything. Yeah, definitely. So.
It was a little different sound, but that's okay. Yeah. It doesn't need to sound identical.
Yeah.
So
I think props for on that aspect. Like, most times people like just try and sound as much like Kurt as possible.
All right, well, let's bring that up then. So there's been some good live streams, and there's also been some really terrible ones. One in particular, I saw a video of, the first time I saw it, I didn't know who it was. And they're singing a cover of Nirvana's About a Girl, and I thought that this band was making fun of Nirvana, making fun of Kurt Cobain and the way that he sings. And then I later learned, like a few hours later, that this is Puddle of Mud, who is like a legitimate rock band that people like, and that blows me away. And we've just got a little bit of that queued up right here so you can hear what it sounds like. You gotta see the guy's face along with it. That particular version cut out the parts where he was actually not sounding terrible, because when he just sung, he was okay.
Yeah.
And then he tried to do this weird Kurt impression or something, and it made
him... It was probably totally one of those things of, like, when someone tries to do, like, a Lisa Simpson impression, in their head, they know what they're trying to sound like, so they think that they sound like that, but unfortunately but he does not sound at all like Kurt Cobain.
Everybody made fun of him. Everybody said this is the worst thing in the world, rightfully so. And then he had a rebuttal that he said on the radio where he's like, "Everybody these days is a critic, and unless you're up here doing it, then we don't care what you have to say," or whatever.
I mean, that statement alone just claims that you definitely care what people had to say. Yeah.
So, I mean, I've never been a Puddle of Mud fan. I'm not usually a fan of that genre of music, really. But
rightfully so. They sing like that.
Yeah, that was terrible. So I guess the winner of the week is Post Malone when it comes to live streams. Another good one that's been going on that is, I guess, going to be an every Friday. That's when most of these are, is on Friday. It seems like that's the go-to day for these live streams. Clutch has done one for the last couple weeks, and they've played like a short 3-song or 4-song set each time. And obviously still trying, they're calling themselves like dinosaurs learning new tricks and stuff because they're old men learning how to work the computer and stuff. So they are still trying to, like, you know, figure it out and make it look good.
Yeah.
And I understand how that works. But that's been fun watching them play. I always have loved Clutch, so yeah, it's cool to see them play some songs. They came on the other day and Lane said, that is not what I thought that guy looked like. Like, in your head, I guess, is what you're saying. Yeah. You had never seen Neil Fallon of Clutch before.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat.
What did you expect him to look like?
I don't
big,
know.
Big, tall. The guy from Comic Book Men. The guy with the super long white beard.
Yeah.
That's who I imagined.
That's Neil Fallon in your head?
Holy crap, that is really accurate.
Okay. I feel like they have a somewhat similar look. They both... I mean, Neil's beard is a little bit shorter than it normally is right now.
I feel
now,
like if you put his voice on top of the other person, though...
Ryan Johnson, I think, who you're like talking about for Comic Book Men.
Yeah.
But I do that stuff all the time. Like, if I have watched, like, a YouTuber for the longest time, and, like, it's just the gameplay and I can't see their face, like, anytime they do a face reveal or something, I try and stay away from that because I have this image in my head of what you look like.
Okay.
So then it's... I don't know. I don't necessarily think I'm disappointed... But, like, then it just, like, shifts, like, I'm just like, wait a second, you look like that? And, like, it throws me off.
Are you disappointed in Clutch now? Or are you like, I can't listen to Clutch because he just looks like a normal guy with a beard?
I think he looks younger and less redneck than he sounds.
Yeah.
Less redneck than he sounds.
Yeah.
So you think Clutch has, like, a redneck
sound? Not necessarily, like, a redneck sound, but more redneck than...
A little bit, like, I think just, like, a little bit of a...
Because,
like,
I think...
Western kind of, like...
I think blues is the word that
you're
looking for.
Yeah.
Clutch has a very, very... blues bass to them.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think that's more of what you're looking for than redneck. I mean, if you think they sound like rednecks, that's your thing. You can think whatever you want.
I think his voice just sounds
the guy from Puddle
a little
of Mud
bit
sounds less more like a redneck than Clutch does.
I think he's like, I think he's...
Jesus.
What else? Clutch has been good.
You've been watching Wussy as well.
Yeah, Wussy, they're a local band here in Cincinnati. They've done a couple of them also on Friday.
Yeah.
Those have been pretty good. Not great quality, but they're not that big of a known band, so I wouldn't expect them to have, like, the greatest setup in the world. But it's still kind of fun to just sit there and watch. There's been a wrestler, Joey Janela. He's in AEW and all over the indie wrestling world. He's been doing some live streams on Twitch where he just picks a few matches from YouTube and downloads them and puts them on his stream and then just kind of talks over top of them and just kind of... talks to the fans in the chat as he's doing it. But I really like the matches that he picks out.
Yeah.
He does a great job. I mean, I value Joey Janela's opinion on making a playlist of matches to show on Twitch because he always picks some really cool stuff, whether it be like an actual like quality wrestling match or something that will just make you laugh hysterically.
Yeah.
He does a good job of picking both of those kinds of things.
Like the one where the guy, like, so there was Quarantine Mania, which was like...
That's what started this.
Yeah,
it was
basically...
he was supposed to have a big show during WrestleMania weekend that got canceled.
Yeah.
So instead, he went to Twitch and did Quarantine Mania, but then now he's been doing live streams every weekend.
There was a match on that. It was like the second or third match. It was like a ladder match or something. And I don't think these guys knew what they were signing up for.
Because,
like, they took one, like, suplex with, like, his back to, like... hit, like, the top of the ladder, so, like, he was, like, folded. I was like, oh, no, thank you.
Yeah, there's been some crazy stuff.
Speaking of that ladder stuff, the hit that Darby took when Sammy jumped on him and that ladder didn't give at all, and they just smacked
like
the ladder.
It's, like, bounced, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think after being exposed to AEW and Joey Janela just as a person, for one, I think I definitely like wrestling a whole lot more than I used to. And also, I thoroughly enjoy comedy wrestling.
Yeah, why not?
Orange Cassidy shows up, and I'm just like, this is better than any main event that Brock Lesnar will ever be a part of, or anybody over at the E.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like,
but also, comedy wrestling,
Orange Cassidy Penelope Ford match, that's gonna happen.
But also, comedy wrestling doesn't need to be, like, the wrestlers still can be wrestlers. Like, Orange Cassidy is a comedic wrestler.
I think
for like
Cabana
5 minutes.
The epitome of that.
Cole Cabana,
yeah.
The way that he pins people where he jumps and then smiles at the camera, like, it's goofy, but he's still like actively wrestling.
Yeah, I think Cole Cabana might kind of be considered the godfather of comedy wrestling in this current state that we're in right now.
Except he doesn't have a hoe train.
He wasn't the first to do it, but as far as current generation wrestling goes, I think he plays a big part in that. And he played a big part in the whole pro wrestling tees thing, which played a big part in AEW even existing.
Yeah,
because they were just a t-shirt company for the first year. So if there's no t-shirt company, then they were just a label.
They Colt Cabana is a pretty important guy in the wrestling world.
Especially in the creation of AEW and All In and all that kind of stuff.
We got to meet him.
Yeah,
we got a picture with him. Go to my Instagram and you'll see it.
Get got.
Tyler wasn't there. He's not in the picture. Or Tyler was there, but he was in his John Cena costume, and that's why we can't see him.
That's true. That's true. Big John Cena fan.
Yep. Any other live streams?
So
this was our main topic, and I think we really only had like two things to talk about.
Not exactly a live stream, but SNL has been doing because everybody's kind of been doing the at home kind of thing on TV, and SNL has been doing their SNL at home, and everybody's saying like this is the funniest they've been in a long time because they're all just like sitting at home, just like thinking of their own kind of things. So like Pete Davidson. He's been doing like songs a lot, and they've been really funny. But Michael Che, who is one of the Weekend Update people, he last night when Saturday Night Live was on, he like got super drunk and was like on Instagram Live, like watching it with people. So I thought that was kind of cool.
So I've definitely liked that kind of theme. Like Fallon's doing his own at home thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We watch John Oliver every week, and he's doing.
Yeah.
He just has a green screen and just a white tarp.
Yeah.
And Fallon and has musical guests I saw too, because a band I like, Churches, just ordered the musical guest. They've played Fallon like a million times. Fallon's obviously a fan because he's had him on the show a million times. But they were the musical guest, I think, this past Thursday or something like that. And they, same thing, like theirs was recorded at home and like put together like the same way that Goldfinger video we watched was. And gotcha. It, I mean, it kind of made for just like its own cool little music video, basically. And that's what they played on Fallon. And that was cool.
Nice. And not only just the already occurring talk shows are doing it. John Krasinski does his own Some Good News every weekend or every week.
Yeah.
And what's that all about?
I haven't been watching the last couple weeks, but he basically just sits there like at his kitchen table and like his daughter's made a sign in the back that says SGN, and he just does like just updates on the week, how everything's looking, and he tries to be goofy with it. He asks a new person to talk about the weather every week.
Okay.
This week, Brad Pitt just walked outside of his house, was obviously just recording on his phone, and was like, doesn't look half bad, and that's just the end of the segment. That was the weather with Brad Pitt. But John Krasinski's humor is...
Brad Pitt was just on SNL. He had a thing on there. Oh, also speaking of Brad Pitt...
I have to check out the Miley Cyrus performance from SNL last night, because everybody's saying that because she covered Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here, and I guess apparently
that's such a good song.
Apparently it's
that?
Almost like just as bad as the Puddle of Mud one.
Well, but when you said that, I was scrolling on to Instagram, and I saw that, so I went to the comments, and you could tell, like, most people who had, like, guys as their game of picks said, like, oh my god, this was awful, and all the, like, 30-year-old moms were like, oh my god, this was so good. It was just so, like, stereotypical.
I think that's part of my problem, is people decide to do covers of things that I have really high expectations of. Like, you cover Nirvana, and, like, I know Nirvana like the back of my hand, so if you do bad, I'll know, like, in an instant.
Yeah.
If you decide to cover Pink Floyd, you better be ready to, like...
I forgot to put the dog upstairs before we came down here, and then I just saw him a second ago, and I just realized, whoops, I forgot to put the dog in his crate.
Well, all right.
Alright, well, hopefully he doesn't get into anything while we're down here. Or poop on anything, or pee on anything. Well, darn.
But yeah, like, you start to, like, cover Pink Floyd, and you have an entire, like, generation and side of music that is going to have all eyes on you, so... Yeah.
I tell you, talking
about... I don't
want to
put
too
much pressure on them, but, like, at the same time, like...
Excuse me. Speaking of generational, Post Malone, while I was watching his last night, I don't remember the context of it, but he ended up bringing up the cable TV channel Music Choice, which was like an MTV, an alternative MTV, like while MTV was at its height. While MTV was at its height, like playing music videos. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, there was multiple channels that, like, you know, tried to also jump on the music video thing. Music Choice was one of them. Much Music was one of them. Video Jukebox was one of them. Even VH1 was one of them. And he mentioned Music Choice on his stream yesterday. He was like, oh, yeah, like, watching videos on Music Choice or something. I'm like, how old is this dude? Because, like, that was from my childhood when I was, like, an early teenager.
I think he's in his early 30s.
He's 24 years old.
Is he actually?
So there's no way that he actually has memory of that music channel. That channel was gone by the time he was...
It could have been a family thing. So, his dad could have watched it or something.
So, I mean, obviously he's a professional musician, and it doesn't mean that he's limited to only the knowledge of the music since he's been alive. But I thought it was just such a weird reference for somebody to make, and especially somebody that wasn't there for it. Because, I mean, I forgot it existed until he said something about it.
Maybe,
and I watched it and recorded music videos off of it on the VHS.
Maybe his dad, like, had the VHSs, and, like, he watched them off of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was another good one. That was... Jack Johnson did a live stream this weekend. He hosts, I'm not a fan of his or anything. He seems like a nice guy, but I'm, again, not a fan of his music. He holds a music festival every year in Hawaii. And obviously it got canceled, so they did it this weekend and did it live stream style. And Eddie Vedder was a part of that. And they did, the last song they did was a song called Better Together. I don't know if it was a cover song or if it's a Jack Johnson song. I'm not sure where the song comes from. But it was like Zoom style on the screen. There was like 16 of them on the screen. And it was like Hillman. It was all of the people that played at the festival. And then they all did this one song together.
Gotcha.
Jack Johnson playing guitar and singing. There was a couple other people singing. And then there was, because there was so many of them, there was some of them that were just playing like goofy instruments that weren't even really instruments. And that's what Eddie Vedder did. He was in the very bottom right-hand corner. And he was outside in front of his outside sauna with a broom, and he was just sweeping back and forth, and that was the rhythm. And he was also doing a little, he moonwalked at one point. I'd never seen Eddie Vedder moonwalk before, but he did.
Well, all right, then.
But, like, you could hear his broom, though. Like, it made, you know, a rhythm part of the song.
Gotcha.
And that was pretty cool. That was a good one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, back to Brad Pitt, which I was trying to talk about a couple minutes ago. I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood two nights ago. And I actually really enjoyed it, even though I felt like it was kind of, you know why he dislikes it.
I mean, there were like watching the Oscars, I was like, I've seen a couple of the other movies. I'm not quite sure why this one won as opposed to other people, but I thoroughly enjoyed watching it, like, all the way through.
I'm the only person that feels that way. It is what
I thought. Brad Pitt was really funny in it, and the twist ending. But, like Nate was saying the other day, Tarantino likes to just flip things on its head, just to flip things on its head. So,
well, for
that
me,
could be an argument.
I felt like I didn't think it was a twist ending because I purposely didn't look into it beforehand. Like, I knew before that, like, Sharon Tate died. Like, I knew that, but that was the only thing I knew. So, like, after I watched the movie, after it was over, then I looked it up and, like, was finding stuff out about it. So, like, I had no prior knowledge to it, so I think I enjoyed it more, not expecting something to happen. So, but then, like, Nate was talking, because I was playing Rocket League with him a couple of days ago. He was saying, like, Tarantino's kind of known for, like, flipping things on his head.
Right.
And I was like, asking him if he had, like, seen, like, Pulp Fiction, those kind of things. Like, yeah, I watched that when he was a kid. And, like, I asked if he was a fan. He was like, I like it, but I feel like he just glorifies violence, like, way too much. So it kind of, like, isn't my kind of movie too much. So, which I understand that. But they burned the lady on fire with the flamethrower, so I was pretty happy.
There were definitely some payoff points.
Yeah.
The first hour is, like, why is this movie happening?
Yeah.
Where you don't realize that it's setting up for the last 15, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But, like, the first hour is, like, a whole lot of nothing. But, like, you don't realize that each of those, like, little nothings are about to be, like, the 5 seconds of payoff that you get for the last 10 minutes of the movie. It's
and, like,
really
in that first hour, I had a friend that, like, asked me to share him something because he needed, like, a paper to be able to do, and he didn't have the paper, so he needed, like, a doc to be able to fill it out. And, like, I had, like, go into my Chromebook and, like, while I was watching the movie, I'm also, like, trying to get this thing to him so he can, so then, like, it doesn't get turned in late or something like that. So, I plan on watching the rest of those Tarantino movies over the next year.
Or you could just watch, like, 100 different documentaries about Charles Manson, because that's what I did, and that's why I was disappointed in the movie.
That's fair. See, that's like one. That's like the puddle of mud thing. Like, it's just there's a certain thing you have a certain, but it's a certain thing you have a certain expectation of it, and you know what should be coming up next. Yeah. And when it doesn't happen, you're just like, well,
yeah,
you, all three of you were supposed to be dead, and the credits are rolling. Why are you not dead?
Yeah, I've watched a lot of documentaries on Charles Manson and the Manson family and all that, and read lots of books. I don't know. It was something I was into, I guess, for a part of my life. So I know the story all very, very well. And then when they announced this movie, it was like, oh, you know, Tarantino's making a movie about Manson and about the Manson family and the girls and all this. And I'm like, that sounds awesome. And that's not really what he did. He really just made a movie about Brad Pitt and Matt Damon. And that wasn't my selling point for the movie whatsoever.
You just called DiCaprio Matt Damon. DiCaprio,
sorry. I'm terrible with Hollywood actors. I don't care. Whatever. So that was my beef with the movie.
That's fair.
And it's like I said to Lane, I was like, maybe if I watch it again now, like knowing that, like, there obviously it's not going to follow what I think is going to happen, maybe I would like it a little bit more. I don't know.
I think DiCaprio does a really good job. I think Brad Pitt's funny in it.
How does Matt Damon do? Is he good?
Oh, he's pretty good.
Good. Is he not in the movie?
His role as Sharon Tate was the strongest I've ever seen.
He's in every movie ever, isn't he?
He is in a lot of movies.
I feel like at this point DiCaprio's in more movies than Damon is.
More so. Gotcha.
Did he ever get an Oscar?
Yeah, no, he won the first time, like in 2017 or something.
Okay.
Like, he had a bajillion nominations and would never win.
Any movies coming out that you guys are looking forward to, or?
I don't know when my movies
are coming out. Yeah, everything's being pushed back at this point.
The entire Marvel calendar has been shifted about 3 to 6 months, depending on how close it is to right now.
Gotcha.
Like, some of the movies that were scheduled for 21 are now scheduled for 22.
Gotcha.
Early 21 is now late 2021.
There are a couple of things that are coming on Netflix that I want to watch. Like, Steve Carell has a new show.
About Tiger King.
No.
I just brought that up to make you mad.
Yeah, it's so annoying. But Steve Carell has a new show.
Yeah, what's up with the new Steve Carell show? And it's by the people that made The Office, right?
And Greg Daniels is writing with it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But it's in space?
It sounds like it's Spaceballs, kind of.
No, it's called Space Force. So, like, it's basically a joke on how Trump is, like, making, like, another branch of the government, which is, like, the Space Force. And that's, like, what it would be like if it became a thing, and that's what the show is.
Gotcha.
So, then there's something. There's a show that is made by the people that made Adventure Time. Yeah. It's like a Rick and Morty kind of Adventure Time kind of show. It's also on Netflix. I want me and you to watch that. That sounds really funny.
Did you guys watch the trailer for the new Justin Roiland show? Yeah. Solar Opposites?
Yeah.
That's another one of those things of, I don't know how I feel in terms of voices.
Yeah, when you hear the voice, you hear something else. Not seeing
Rick or Morty on the screen is really weird.
Yeah, but it's a little bit different. He's not doing the Rick or Morty voice. He's really just doing the Justin Roiland voice, though. I mean, it's still very similar to both.
Yeah.
But it is still at least a different voice.
Rick and Justin Roiland's voice are insanely similar.
Yeah, but they're still... It's not exactly, though.
Yeah,
and I mean, I like that kind of humor, so I don't want to, like, knock it down because... So it's like, that's the last thing I want to do is to be like, oh, the two A-listers from the other show aren't in this one. I cannot watch this spinoff or this side project because I like the first project that he put out. More side project than
spinoff, although it looks very similar to Rick and Morty.
I think it's just the same kind of animation.
His video game looks the same way as well, and I get that, but...
And if anything, I kind of want to support him because I like Rick and Morty so much.
I need to play the video game every five years.
Trevor Saves the Universe. I want to see how much that things about it. I was just waiting for it to get.
I want
to
see how much that is on Steam. I've been looking for like a PC single player game to play, and I think that might be one of the ones I want to play. About it.
Yeah, if I only get Rick and Morty once every 5 years, I figured I could sprinkle some more Justin Roiland between years.
A good way of holding you over. 5 more Rick and Morty episodes start up here in a week or two, though. So the trailer for that looked pretty good.
Yeah.
And so, just the title of it. It's just like The Other Five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always love the self-awareness. Like, I love Deadpool. I love Rick and Morty. I like the stuff that is
one of the doesn't episodes take itself too seriously. I saw, I don't remember who I saw say it. It was either Justin Roiland or Dan Harmon, one or the other. And I forget which episode it is, but one of the episodes of the upcoming 5, one of them has said that, like, it's the sickest, most twisted episode they've done yet. So
that's hard to
do. That's a pretty big statement to make with some of the crazy stuff they've done.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
I literally watched Rick and Morty get, like, melted in front of them.
Yeah.
Or there was the, I can't remember, maybe it was the interdimensional cable one, or there was something, but there was like the cold open to it, and like Morty had to like kill an alien that looked like his mom.
Yeah.
So Morty literally just blatantly murders his mom in order to do something that Rick asked him to do.
Yeah. My boss that owns the place I work at, I got him hooked on Rick and Morty a year or two ago now or something like that. And interdimensional cable is his favorite episode.
Of course it is.
Yep.
And I love that kind of like.
I love that episode. Why of course it is?
Because that's the episode when like, oh, let's turn on Rick and Morty. Is it like Pickle Rick or that?
I mean,
or like the two episodes
main...
that everybody turns on, which.
But for good reason though.
Yes, for good reason, but it gets old after you watch it. Just like how some Simpsons episode gets old.
I could probably watch the TV and say, just two brothers. And then the Mexican Armada attacks. but their bond is strong.
That's been referenced in this house quite a few times.
Because I don't remember who it is. I'm almost certain it's someone in AEW, but they refer to themselves as brothers or something. And I always
like,
just go, two brothers.
It's just two brothers.
And then did you just hear the giggle at the very end? Like, I loved that it was literally just, all right, Justin, stand there. I'm going to press play. Just make up a story.
Just
talk. Do whatever you want.
I blew my boss's mind this past week. He was under the impression that Dan Harmon did one of the voices and that Justin Roiland did one of the voices as Rick and Morty.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm pretty sure it's the same. And I wasn't 100% sure. I had to double check, but I was like, I'm pretty sure it's the same guy that does both of their voices. I think Justin Roiland does both of the voices.
Yep.
So I had to look it up on YouTube and find it was one of the first ones that came up was from a Comic-Con panel. And somebody was like, can you just do the voices? And so, like, he had a conversation, like, with himself just sitting there as Rick and Morty. And it was like, that's weird. It's weird to watch it. Like, it's weird to see it like that.
I'm almost positive that Dan Harmon does do a couple voices.
He
does
do a couple voices.
I think it's, like,
but
the same for, like, The Simpsons. That there's, like, the four that do most of the characters. Mm-hmm. And there's that one person that,
does
like...
Does he do Jerry?
I don't think so.
No.
He
just does small...
I think it's,
like
one of the, it's almost exactly like The Simpsons. Of, like,
B
Justin Roiland
that have
does the family. Ones. And then, like... Alien number 3 that approaches Morty, that's Dan Harmon.
Yeah.
All right, well, we talked about live streams and Rick and Morty.
Boom.
All right, our last little segment that we want to get into here, we're just going to kind of talk about the life of quarantine in our house and how it's affected us individually since we've last spoke about it, because I mean, we might as well continue to document this crap as we go week by week on Howdy Radio during this crazy time that we live in. Where do we start?
I mean, the vine of the house kind of worked out pretty dang perfectly.
So yeah, so we've
oddly in the pandemic world.
Yeah, we bought our house, and then, like, the next day, the world changed is almost how it happened.
Yeah.
Boy, we were just talking about it yesterday, actually. Me and Liz were just talking about it yesterday. It's a good thing we bought the house when we did, and we've discussed on the show when we bought the house, I think. It's been, like, two months ago now, almost exactly 2 months ago now. And God, we got lucky the way that it worked out and the price that we paid for this house. Because since the whole world has changed now, there's other houses that are in our area that are not as nice as the house that we live in that is way more expensive than what we are.
Gotcha.
The timing of it, it's insane, the timing of it, the way that this all worked out. If it would have been a month or two different either way, I don't think we'd be sitting where we are right now, and that's pretty weird. So we bought the house a couple months ago, and since, you know, so now we've been in quarantine in our house. So if you're not familiar, we lived in this house for 8 years renting it, and then just a couple months ago we bought it. So we didn't move or anything. We're still in the same house. Yeah. That was the, you know, the big thing. We wanted to stay where we were. But now it's our house, so we've been able to, it's our responsibility to do things and whatnot, so.
And not necessarily our responsibility, it's just like things that we've wanted to do, mm-hmm. or, I mean,
like what?
Dash is the prime example of that.
Our
of
dog is
while
for
renting,
sure.
we couldn't have a dog, and now,
yeah,
within right. like same day or day after
day
of
after.
Buying, we've had Dash.
Yeah,
yeah, and so let's talk about Dash for a little bit. Then let's start there. So we feel that the biggest change in our lives as homeowners has been the ability to buy a dog, which we did literally the day after we signed the papers to buy the house. So what do you guys feel about the dog? How do you guys like having a dog around all the time?
I mean, I love the dude. And I think he's definitely gotten more comfortable in the 2 months.
Yeah.
This month more
so
than the
first
dog.
Month. This is the first dog I've really ever owned. But we knew going into it that getting a rescue dog that, you know, it'd probably take a little bit longer to get them used to our life and everything, because they might not have had the best life for the best little while or something, so that always takes a little while to get used to something new. But you're right, I think he's still getting used to, or I think he's doing a lot better job of being around and doing all
that. I mean,
that
first month, he wouldn't even, like, come downstairs, I just say his name. If I'm next to the stairs, he just zooms down, sits on my beanbag, and we just chill in the beanbag for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. For the first little while, he wouldn't go upstairs or downstairs. He would only stay on the main floor unless we picked him up and carried him.
Yeah.
But that is not the case anymore. I like watching him run up the stairs. I've tried to get a couple videos of him, because if you get down like at like stair level, and then I'm going to get a good video of him running up the stairs one day. I haven't got a good one yet, but he looks funny when he runs up the stairs.
Yeah, gotcha.
So the dog is a big one. So we take the dog out for walks and...
Yeah. That's another thing that's changed too. When we were first taking walks, for one, you could not walk behind him.
Right.
Him having the biggest freak out ever. Yes.
He had to be directly behind you to your right. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason and dog reasoning, that is where he had to be. And he still stays to the right in that area.
But like, he won't
he
freak out.
In front for me now. He leads, but will still only go on the right side.
Right.
Which kind of works out, because, like...
Yeah, I'm holding the thing in my right hand anyway, so it's fine. And he's the same for me sometimes in front of me, but I wouldn't say most of the time in front of me.
He recently, only for me, doesn't walk on the grass the whole time.
He walks on the sidewalk
for
me, too.
He walks on the sidewalk, and then, unless it's the tall grass, which just recently got cut... But there was super tall grass that he would like to run in, and anytime he goes to the bathroom, he gets in the grass.
Yeah.
Other than that, he just, like, side by side, just walks.
He also walks on the sidewalk for me, too.
Has he ever pooped behind the dumpster at my work?
No.
Somebody's pooping behind the dumpster at my work.
So much to the point where you have a sign there now. That's ridiculous.
We have a dumpster out, you know, beside my bar that I work at, and over the last month or two... There has been a couple instances where there's a big pile of crap back there, and we have determined that we do not think that it is any type of animal crap. We think it's human crap. So it's happened so many times that I got on the computer the other day and went on Google and searched and found a no public pooping sign. It had like a guy pooping out a poop emoji, and it had a big line and circle and line through it, and I printed it out, and that's now on the back of our dumpster at work. So.
Nice. It's ridiculous. The quarantine life is getting to people.
And then the guy I was working with, he's like, you know what's going to happen? I was like, what? He's like, the guy's going to go back there and take a dump behind your dumpster and then use your paper to wipe his butt with. And I was like, oh, crap, that probably will happen. But it's still worth having the sign there, I think.
Yeah.
All right, so besides the dog, we've been, we painted our front rail out front. On our front porch.
Bought new furniture.
Well, our furniture was a housewarming gift we got from Liz's dad. He bought us, him and his girlfriend was very nice and got us a housewarming gift, and we got patio furniture for out back. We got a hammock for out back.
Yeah,
heck yeah.
I have yet to be in the hammock.
It's also been raining a lot.
Yeah.
So.
And we got a new little rocker bench for the front porch.
Yeah.
So we went from having zero places to sit outside of our house to now we have ample amount of seating for we have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 if you want to be technical. The patio furniture sits 4. The hammock says it's for 2 people.
That's true.
And the front bench is for 2 people. Mm-hmm. So 4, 2, and 2, we've got enough to accommodate 8 people outside now, and there's only 4 of us.
Yeah, I'm ready for the party I'm going to throw when this is all over.
Yes, I think everybody is ready for a party to throw when this is all over.
And Marmy got us the rich person
fire pit.
Yeah.
And we painted that, and that looks good.
That matches the color scheme of everything.
We painted some belts, NWO.
Oh, yeah, when we were painting the fire pit, finally put the NWO spray paint on the belt. That was fun. I've always wanted to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else around the house have we done? Anything really? What about the food? Talk about the food. What's our food situation look like in this whole new world situation that we live in?
I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like I have more variety and I eat better now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily consider it better because it's probably still just artificial meat and chips with a pudding.
Microwave
but
food.
You also got to think about this. You only have your stuff. You have bought food for you. Like, everybody else, it's the 3 of us just who gets to it first.
But I don't know if maybe it's just because my mama goes to the store. Every vegetarian in existence has already bought the chicken patties that I like, so she grabs the other stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
But honestly, the other stuff is delicious. She got some barbecue chicken nuggets and some buffalo wings. Those buffalo wings, I put my own cheddar cheese and sriracha on those. Stuff's the bomb.
Right on. Yeah, we got a lot of food in the house. We've been making more grocery visits than we had in the past, probably. There's definitely been no shortage of food in the house. What about going out to eat?
So Chipotle every Thursday.
I'm glad that we switched ours to Taco Bell every Thursday.
I can't do Chipotle anymore. I like Taco Bell way more than I like Chipotle. Mm-hmm. The last couple Friday nights, we've tried to... We usually have eat out night on Friday nights. We're all home at that point now. So we've been trying to do local stuff for that. Last week we did a Mexican restaurant around here that we like called El Pueblo. That was so good. This week we got food from where I work, Chicken on the Run. And we just walked across the street and got it. And it was really good.
Also delicious.
We should get El Pueblo next week or something like that.
Yeah, El Pueblo is good. They brought us margaritas on the rocks, literally on the rocks.
on the rocks.
That was good, yeah. What else?
I like a big steak, super quesadilla or something like that.
Yeah, I think some of it's still in the fridge, actually.
Is it? Probably not good at this point.
I tell you something that I did yesterday during quarantine life that made me feel really, really good was the record store that I shop at that is just a couple miles away from me. They announced that starting this past Friday that they were going to be open for curbside pickup. And I was like, well, I have to buy something from them immediately. Mm-hmm. So I sent them a message on Facebook, and I was it's hard to shop for records when you're not just walking through the record store.
Talking about that.
That the part of buying a record is sitting there and flipping through 5,000 records before you decide on which one you want to buy.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, what have I been listening to here lately that I would like to increase my collection on? And I was like, how about Nine Inch Nails? I've been listening to a lot of Nine Inch Nails here lately, so let's see. So I sent them a message. What NIN records do you have in right now? And they were really good about it. They sent me back 9 different pictures of all the different records they had with, the price tag was clearly on all of them. So I knew I didn't have to say how much is that one or whatever. So they were all right there. So I was like, all right, cool. I'll pick up Broken. And they set it aside for me. And I went and picked it up. And that's it right here for the people that are watching. So they were like, yeah, just give us a call when you get here and we'll bring it out to you. I was like, all right, cool. So then I went, I called there, and I was like, hey, this is Brandon. I got a Nine Inch Nails record waiting on me. I'm just letting you know I'm out here. He's like, we can either do the credit card over the phone, or if you're comfortable, you can just come into the counter and pay for it. And I'm like, I will be right in. So I walked in, and the guy opened the door for me, and he let me in. He smiled, and he's like, It kind of feels almost like normal again, just walking in. Don't it? I said, there's no better feeling right now than just walking into a freaking record store. Yes.
Yeah.
So that was a great experience. So I spent $25 and bought a record that I've heard 8 million times.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
So,
but is you that got the one that came with the bonus mini.
So here, let me give you the story on that, right? So I guess I don't need the visual aid. So Broken was a record that Nen released in 92. It was an EP. It was 6 songs. It came out on CD. That was the main format back in 92. So the original, the very first pressing of Broken, the Broken EP itself was 6 songs. The first pressing came with what is called a mini disc, which is a format that never went anywhere. It was like half the size. It was like a GameCube game. Of a GameCube game.
Yeah.
So some music tried to release on mini discs back then, and it never went anywhere. But the Broken CD came with a separate 3-inch mini disc that had 2 more songs on it. So there was 6 songs on the regular Broken CD, and then there was 2 bonus songs on the extra 3-inch CD. That was only the first pressing. From the second pressing thereon, those 2 songs have just been included on Broken. They're just considered 2 bonus tracks at the end of the album. That's what I owned back in 92. I didn't own the one that came with the extra little bonus. So to me, in my head, those 2 songs had always just, and that's how it is on Spotify. Those 2 songs are on Broken on Spotify. But
does it say like parentheses bonus track on it, or is it just a song?
No, like the artwork for the record, like it has labels on both sides, but it has 0 words. So I didn't know what the 2 songs were at all.
Oh, okay.
But it comes with a booklet that kind of explains all of that. Is okay. Where I learned all of that.
So wait, so you have a first pressing?
No. So that was the CD back from 92. Back in 2017. Nine Inch Nails re-released Broken on vinyl. It had not been available on vinyl probably since 92.
Gotcha.
And all of the copies now of Broken on vinyl, they recreated the bonus disc. So it comes with the 12-inch record with the 6 songs, and then it comes with a bonus 7-inch 45 record that has the other 2 songs on it. Gotcha. So to listen to the entire album, you have to use 2 different size and speeds of records, which is kind of weird. But I like that they imitated the original release of it. I think that's gotcha. Really cool. And it was a nice surprise opening up the packaging. I mean, like, there's another record in here, and I have no idea why.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Yep. What else? Bought a new iPad, which we've got right here that's watching our live stream to keep up with the chat. What up, everybody in the chat? Cool.
Yep. I felt like I had something.
I'm sorry, I talked a long time about a Nine Inch Nails record.
No, you're fine. Oh, I think to the point of, like, going up and calling people that you're there,
mm-hmm.
It is definitely apparent, I mean, it makes sense, that people are definitely getting used to not being behind a counter okay. to help people. Like, I don't, it's hard to describe, but, like, when you do the pickup things, like, we had to pick up something from Ace.
Yeah.
And that person from Ace was so very confused as to how his own process was like still working.
Yeah,
like he was trying to like figure out his system while I was trying to like sign the receipt and everything.
Gotcha.
So like it's weird that like everyone is adapting, whether it's because there's no customers or it's the all way you help your customers,
and it's because everybody is doing it differently, because there's no exact way that everybody's supposed to be doing.
If there was
stuff
just a
like
setup
that.
Where someone would just say no one can come inside, here's training on how you walk outside yeah. and how you get the receipt. And
so
that's
for example, like with restaurants and stuff, like some of them, some restaurants, they won't let you come into their restaurant to pick up their food.
Mm-hmm.
Mine does. So it's just some do, some don't. So some people that come to my restaurant to get food, like you'll kind of, sometimes you'll, because you can see out of our front door, but you can't see in our front door. So we can see like when a car pulls up and it's like, well, crap, they've been sitting there for like 5 minutes. They must expect that we're coming out to them
mm-hmm.
because some people do think that. So then we have to do that.
Yeah.
Or sometimes somebody will kind of just open the door and like they'll feel like they're doing something they're not supposed to do. They're like, am I supposed to come in? Can I come in?
Yeah.
But then the majority of people, the very high percentage of people, just walk right in and they're just super happy to be inside of the building. So
yeah.
You can get a beer while you're waiting for your food to finish, and That helps people feel good for a minute.
Yeah.
Same way me walking into the record store felt good for a minute.
I think part of it also was like, part of the reason why there's not such like a formality with it is like, because like some fast food chains have drive-throughs, so they're probably hardly affected anyways. Like right.
Their dining room just isn't open.
Yeah, the McDonald's that's right by the Kroger, the percentage of people who go through the drive-through as opposed to who comes in is probably 85 to 15.
For sure.
So as opposed to having the five people that you had per shift come inside, you just that's just an extra car in the drive-through. So they don't have to adapt, but other people like El Pueblo definitely do not have a drive-through. Right. So you have to deliver or go outside.
Right. Yeah, we've been doing delivery at my restaurant also. That's not something that we had until the current times. We've got one of our servers that needed hours because he lost his other job because they closed down completely. Mm-hmm. So we're like, well, let's get this guy working and make him do the delivery. So he stands around, answers the phone, and takes people their food all day. Nice. It works out really well. It's just weird, though. It's just apparently Ohio is supposed to open back up here soon, and we'll see exactly how that all plays out.
So weird. It's like it's a double-edged sword. I want us to go back to normal, but at the same time,
I don't want everybody
to
die. If
we're shut down right now, just at this point, we're slowly starting to adapt to how this life is anyways. Mm-hmm. Don't go back to things prematurely. Because, like, that's just another thing to just adapt to regular life as well.
Yeah.
Like, have you noticed that, like, watching, like, TV and stuff? So, like, it's weird what we took for granted. Of just, like, you see, like, group hugs on Step by Step, and you're like, you can't do that. That's contagious. What are you doing?
6 feet.
No contact. I
mean, you sit there and watch an episode of AEW Dynamite where there's no crowd, and then, like, they'll show a highlight from, like, you know, this guy wrestled this guy at this time, and there's, like, 20,000 people in the audience. It's like, weird. Oh my god, look at all those people in one place.
Yeah.
What are they doing? They're all gonna die.
It's just weird. Like, I felt like it was just me at first. Of like, sometimes I feel like when things get shifted, I don't know if I'm quick to adapt, but I'm quick to forget what it was before. Like, it might take me a minute to like get back through the steps, but once I'm in it, I forget what it was like beforehand. So like watching AEW with 4 heels and 4 faces and no other people in attendance, like I'm so used to just watching Colt just clap instead of the 20,000 people.
Yeah.
The difference about AEW and WWE with no audience though is that AEW doesn't have an audience because Chris Jericho said there cannot be an audience
anymore.
That's
true.
It has nothing to do with the current pandemic that we're in. Jericho just got tired of the audience and said no more.
Yeah.
So when he says they can come back, everything should be fine.
Yeah.
I'm going to laugh really, really, really hard when everything can go back to normal.
He just says.
And they forget that they said that. Everyone's back and, like,
Jericho
we probably went, like, an hour
that.
And a half
Jericho,
in.
Yeah,
and Jericho has to come back out and be like, so I'm pretty sure I made a declaration. Yes. I don't know why any of you are here.
Yeah, that'll get brought up, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, like, with my restaurant, it's looking like, you know, once it does start to open up again, that we'll probably have to operate at, like, a smaller capacity than what we're set up for now, to where whatever a restaurant's maximum occupancy is, is that, you know, you might be able to operate under like half of that or even a quarter of that, or I don't know. And that, so if we start doing that, we'll probably have to start taking reservations would be my guess. We wouldn't be able to just have people walk up and it'll probably, you know, we'll probably have a schedule of who all is going to be in there on a certain night, which is super weird, but that's probably what we're looking at.
And I mean, all of it sucks, but like, have you seen like the pictures of New Delhi in India? I mean, when you have 1.3 billion people in quarantine, India used to be like super like cloudy and stuff, but like there's I can't remember what it's called, but like it's like their landmark that is like everyone takes pictures by.
Gotcha.
There was like a before and after of like February of this year, and you could barely see the statue, and now it's like literally clear skies in India because everyone's just I mean,
the
side effects totally suck, but like
there's
the
a lot
world
of side
needed
of
a deep breath for a second.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad that it gets it.
Not of that pollution.
There's definitely I think there's definitely some
positives
to
this. There's no
people
like at the steel factories and doing this and the other thing that caused the pollution in the first place.
Just say nobody should take a deep breath of the pollution or they die.
Yeah, it's a weird time that we're living through right now, and who knows what it's going to look like a year from now. Like, one of the things I read said that, like, the big concerts and stuff like that might not even be continuing until like fall of 2021. It's like a big, you know, big arena or stadium show. But hopefully that doesn't include the smaller club shows. Hopefully that'll start up sooner, because those are more important to me than the big arena rock shows.
Yeah.
So I don't. Hopefully it's not too long before I can stand in a room with 12 other Green Jello fans and enjoy a concert. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
we'll see how it plays out, though.
Yep. But if anything, it's just made us more hygienic. For one,
yeah, people
the
wash
world
their hands
is
now.
Yeah, like it was just a fact check of or a reality check of just like. The people are asking you to do very simple tasks in order to not let this spread, and you start realizing, like, wow, we didn't really do that a whole lot, and, like, we should definitely do that more often.
Yeah.
So not only, like, is it house to house we can be more hygienic, but just not, like, existing in the world as we used to 2 months ago. The world is already doing better as well.
So just let's end it with this thought. Let's one more quick conversation about this. Let's say we're sitting here 10 years from now doing a Howdy Radio the Next Generation reunion, and we're talking about just, you know, let's talk about some stuff that we used to talk about on the show.
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about, you know, video games that we used to like back then. Do you think 10 years from now this whole coronavirus pandemic thing, like, will this go down in history books like as being as a big deal as we've thought it is right now? Like, will there always be the pre-corona and post-corona world that we live in? Or eventually, do you think we'll be back to normal and we'll just kind of forget that this happened? Or
I don't think so. Ever will be an actual normal.
Any person who is a senior right now, it will never go away.
Yeah.
But
that's
also, I think it is similar to, like, a 9/11 situation of... I mean, it's definitely, like, people have, like, described it as, like, war times, which it totally is, like... companies have, like, adapted to, like, do the times of what we're fighting right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, like in certain areas, like, you can go to the UK and get on a plane whenever you please, and there's not much ifs, ands, or buts about it. But, like, leaving America or coming into America,
there's
because of what happened,
security.
Like, we've adapted, and the normal is now different than what it was September 10th of 2001. So I think it'll be somewhat similar to that of, like, I don't think it'll drastically change, because unfortunately I think we're too arrogant to actually, like, I mean, once the billionaires can start making their money again, unfortunately I think
the second it's like, oh, you can go outside, everybody will be partying again because it's summer and all that
Well, I mean,
kind of stuff.
I want that to happen. I think the world is still going
but
in
like
the direction it's going in.
But, like, how crazy apprehensive
before
is everybody going to be? Let's say by this fall... that they've said that, like, oh, everything can open back up or whatever. We're just making up time frames here. I'm not saying that this is what's going to happen or anything. Let's just say that that happens, right? Let's just say they're like, this fall, as of October 1st, everything's cool. And that's just what we're rolling with.
Okay.
So that means, like, bands start announcing tours and stuff like that. So then Pearl Jam's like, all right, we're coming to town in November or whatever. Are people going to go to that show, or are people going to be scared to death to be around 25,000 people to where now there's going to be, like, 20 people at the show?
I think it's definitely going to not be, like, crazy sold out
there's
arenas.
There's for sure going to be a grace period. Wherever we claim that it's over, I give it probably a solid, like, 3 to 6 months before people are just like,
okay, well, actually
it's
good
for,
now.
It's for real, like, it's definitely
died
down.
Because us as a society has a terribly short attention span.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, once they're not on the news talking about it every day, I think it'll be quicker to forget than
I guess that's
than
more or less
think.
What I hope happens. Or I guess that's just how my mind works anyways, because of, like with the anxiety and everything. Like, I'm already, like it was weird to walk into Domino's to grab my check, and then, like, the person told me to stand on this dot because it was far enough away from the customer, and it was just like, I don't know. It just, it still all slightly gets under your skin. Because, I try and stay away from the news that, like, keeps the attention span. I just keep DeWine on Twitter so I can see, like, what's happening with
the
my school
actual
year,
important
but
stuff.
Yeah.
I try and keep away from the I don't think it's all hysteria, but there's some of it that's just like...
Drink bleach, then coronavirus will go away.
Yes. The President of the United States telling me to take... use heroin needles and inject myself with hand sanitizer to fix this. That doesn't help my anxiety at all.
The meme that I saw that I liked a lot was, I really wish that all of these companies and stuff would quit saying not to do that. We should just let this one play out naturally. If somebody is dumb enough to ingest themselves with Lysol, let them.
Yeah.
One less stupid
person. Yeah, that's natural selection at that point. Because if you're willing to do that, then that's a yikes.
So I feel like Lysol doesn't need to give any disclaimers. Let it happen.
That's true.
That's it.
I think one of my favorite ones, though, is Trump at the podium, and it's the Nirvana bleach cover.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Bleach is just in quotes.
Yep. But I am a very, 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 I can't say very enough times, very big believer that the media in our country and world is about the biggest form of BS that there is. So there's not much that they can tell me on TV that I can put much belief into, because it's all a work. The entire political system is an effing work from beginning to end.
Yeah.
So I have a real hard time with
kayfabe.
It is. You have no idea how many parallels there can be between a fake wrestling world and a fake political world. Yeah. They're the same damn thing. It's sad. So nothing that they tell me on television can I put much stock into. So.
And I think part of the problem is just it's always which side can one up the other.
It's all fake.
And like I really wish that there could just be a middle ground, because like. The next time I hear on the news that's like, liberals want to go back to work to kill, or don't want to go back to work and will kill the economy, then please explain to me how going back to work and then everyone dying and then the economy going to crap fixes anything. Yeah. I'd rather the economy tank and people live to fix the economy than let's just kill both.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand that mindset. Let's go back to work and save the economy. Well, then there's no one to do that. So good job.
But, I mean, in my situation, you know, I have not been living the quarantine life. I have been
going to work more
every day of my life. Some weeks a little bit more than my old one, my old schedule. So, you know, it's a little different for different people, I guess. I don't know what I was – I feel like I had somewhere I was going with that, and I just completely got off track and don't remember what I was
Everyone's adapted to it.
Yeah.
I mean, some different than others, because, like, it's one thing to, like, take those comments out of context and just be like, you're just hating on people. But at the same time, that could just be coping of just, like, I need something to be fixed so that I don't feel like the entire world is crashing down. If the economy's fixed, then maybe something else happens. But
Our economy was due for a terrible failure.
Yeah,
I mean, our entire society is based on the almighty dollar, and that's stupid. So... of course, that's gonna fail at some point. So whether or not this is what takes it out or not, we'll see.
And maybe we can wrap it all up and like bring a full circle with the whole Star Trek thing.
What does Star Trek have to do with anything? Because it sucks like Corona does.
No,
I get it.
No,
I understand. That's our takeaway, everybody. Coronavirus sucks like Star Trek. Thanks for joining us, Tyler.
No, but, like, Mom will, like, describe, because I wasn't there for the first couple episodes, but on the series we're watching, like, it all starts on the foundation of, like, in the opening credits, it's, like, everyone, like, stopped going country v. country, political party v. political party. It was just, we all just shared the same resources, and that's why, like, they were, there's, like, those society now and society if one thing was different memes. Like, it's similar to that of, like, Star Trek is what happens when everyone can just get their crap together and stop bickering over the little things.
Gotcha.
And just have a bigger picture.
Well, all right.
Yep.
Yep.
That was a pretty good talk, I think.
Yeah, we talked for more than everything else.
Whatever, that's fine.
And we thought we didn't have another segment.
That's all right. I think we're still right, probably around an hour or so, we're fine. All right, I think that's all we've got for this segment. Let's get this thing wrapped up.
All right, well, that was our show. Here are all the credits rolling. And I think we've had a really...
Have you guys listened to the Scrubs podcast yet?
No, that is definitely something I need to listen to.
Yeah, Dave and Taggart have both Dave more so than Taggart have been getting on me about. There's like 5 episodes deep now, and apparently it's really good, and I haven't listened to it yet.
Isn't it similar to Office Ladies? Like, they do a play-by-play kind of watching the episodes? That sounds like so much fun.
Yep, and one episode had had Bill Lawrence, one episode had Sarah Chalk, so I think they're doing like 2 episodes a week or so.
Because, like, the Office Ladies thing, like, sound like a really cool concept to me, but, like, I'm not as into The Office as everyone else is.
I listen to a couple episodes of The Office.
Scrubs is, like, one of my shows. Yeah, so, like, I'd love to watch that.
It's one of my all-time favorites, for sure. I'll get to it. I need to get to it sooner than later, because if it ends up being, like, 50 episodes deep, then I'm going to be overwhelmed and not even start it. So I need to get on it.
Cool. That could be something that's a dinner thing. Take a break from Step by Step and just listen to...
It'd be weird listening to a podcast at dinner time. See, I'm jealous
because and watch at the same time.
A lot of my friends, you know, they're able to listen to podcasts at work, either with headphones in or something like that. So they get more podcast time than I do. I'm in a kitchen at work and
can't quite blast Zach Braff's voice like across the chicken.
I've always just played music, and everybody expects there to be music. If I turned on a podcast, everybody would look at me like, "Well, what the heck are you doing?" However, in the last couple weeks, I've always tried to play music in the kitchen that would, for the most part, be friendly enough for everybody else that was in the building. Over the last couple weeks, my attitude on that has changed. I don't care what you like. I don't care if you like what I'm listening to. What I'm in the mood to listen to is what I'm going to listen to. I don't care if you hear a song that you like all day long. It's my kitchen. I don't care.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of almost to that point, like, where maybe I'll start listening to the podcast at work, because I don't care if they want to listen to it or not.
And if anything, maybe that just pushes them to want to watch Scrubs, and now you have a common ground talking point.
Could be. Right on. So everybody go check out the Scrubs podcast, myself included. Any final thoughts, anybody? This was a fun show having Tyler on. Tyler, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for talking a bunch and not just sitting there. It was a fun episode.
Agreed.
Yep.
Maybe we'll get you on the next few episodes, and you can just be the special guest for the next little while. Yeah. Why not?
Sounds good. I could use the social media hype.
Yeah, there you go. You'll have to get your own little clout. Twitter handle so that I don't hashtag Tyler you. Yeah.
Did you at me?
No, I just put with special guest Tyler. I didn't mention me or you. I just mentioned Tyler.
I'm a part of the show.
I am too.
I know, but...
They expect me and you to be on it. We're the host of the show. Tyler was the special guest. No, but
you should ask the host of the show still.
Yeah, well, then you be in charge of the social media. How about that?
Whatever. I still know how to work it. You add the people who are on it.
Did you say you don't know how to work it?
I do know.
Okay.
You add the people who are on it.
All right. So, if you want to find us on social media, I'm Captain Howdy 1027 on Instagram and Twitter. Where can we find you guys at?
TYWY216 on Instagram, TYWY216.
I think my Instagram is, my Instagram is LanyeEast1113, and my Twitter is Lane_Wiley.
Cool. And you can find me on PlayStation at CaptainHowdy1027. You can find me on Xbox at CaptainHowdy1027.
Yeah, you're on Xbox so much.
You can find me on the Nintendo Switch at S3QP-493. I'm just kidding. I don't know my friend code.
I was about to be so impressed. No, you have no idea.
Definitely don't know my friend code. But if you want to be friends on Animal Crossing, let me know.
Do you have a Steam?
CaptainHowdy1027 on Steam. If you want to email me, I'm at CaptainHowdy1027 at Gmail, or Hotmail, or Yahoo. Have you guys tried out this new browser yet?
No, what do you mean?
There's a new browser down here on the computer.
I clicked on it just to see what it was, but then I clicked off of it.
It's called Brave. Apparently, Google Chrome isn't the safest of browsers to be using anymore, so I've been wanting to try out Brave.
It sounds more safe than Chrome does.
They got good recommendations on it. There's this dude. Do you remember me talking about the show, the channel Tech TV?
I think so.
That was a cable channel, early 2000s, called Tech TV, and it's exactly what it sounded like. And there was so I learned that's where I became a computer guy. I was watching all of these shows and then wanting to do them myself. So there was this one guy that hosted a show on there. His name's Kevin Rose. He was like, he ended up being one of the youngest millionaires in the history of the U.S. because he founded a website called dig.com, which is, he sold since then, and it's not really anything anymore. Gotcha. But he's got a really cool story to him. And I've always followed him on social media, and I've always given a lot of clout to any recommendation that he ever gives because they've always been pretty good.
Gotcha.
So I read on Twitter the other day, and he said that Chrome's not the thing to be using anymore. Brave is the way to go. So I was like, well, Kevin Rose told me to try out Brave, so here we are. So, and it carried over all the settings from Chrome and everything, so you still got all your passwords saved and everything. Okay. So it was a very easy transition. And it does something really cool with torrents. You can watch torrents right in the browser.
Oh, that's really helpful.
So normally with a torrent, you need a torrent client, a second program. Why are we just talking about torrents in the outro of the show? Normally, like in a browser, you say, oh, I found this torrent. I need to open this torrent file in this torrent program, and that's where it's going to download the file, and then I can watch it or do whatever I want to with it.
Like WinRAR.
Not like WinRAR. That's a different thing. Okay. But with this Brave browser, you can go right in the browser. You click on the torrent file. Instead of the torrent file opening in the torrent program, it just starts playing the video that you're wanting to download.
So now you can see if it's like good quality.
Yeah, you can check the quality. Stuff. Or if you don't want to download, like if you don't need it for your Plex server, if you don't need the file of it, you just sit there and watch it. It's just like streaming it on Netflix.
Oh. That's really helpful.
It's awesome.
Were you doing that with all the movies you were downloading? Just to see?
No, I had to go back to Chrome because I couldn't figure out how to open the torrent file in the torrent program the way I wanted to.
Oh.
So I need to figure out how to do that in Brave when I don't want to stream it. So,
gotcha.
So check out Brave. It's a pretty cool looking browser. Apparently, way faster than Chrome.
Maybe you use Google to put it onto the Plex server and you use Brave to like see if it's actually good or not.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. That's that.
Cool. Is it actually that? Cause
I don't know. I don't care. If there's something else somebody wants to talk about, we'll sit here and keep talking. I really don't care. No? All right. No, thanks for listening, everybody. Go to howdyinc.com. Follow us all on all the different socials. I don't think I have any friends doing any podcasts right now to shout out. I don't think anybody's doing anything. So, oh, well. Go watch all the famous people and judge what their houses look like instead.
Yep. Maybe we'll bring back into MTV Cribs because of it.
Maybe so.
They could be like the equivalent to Janela watching wrestling videos. Maybe MTV does a Twitch thing and just like looks at the live
stream. I've been streaming a lot recently. My viewership has gone up a lot because of me streaming a lot.
So could I start like a Howdy Inc. Twitch and basically like just steal Joey Janela's idea and like stream some wrestling matches and like me and my friends like watch them and like talk about them?
I mean, that's not even a Joey Janela thing. That's just like people reacting to like stuff. Initially when streamers get on, they're like in the just talking phase,
just chatting,
and that's when like all of their like higher subscription like people like just send links of like YouTube videos to watch and like,
so what about
sit there and just watch stuff with people?
What about the legality of it? I've noticed that none of Joey Janela's videos are saved on his Twitch page. And in my reasoning for thinking why that would be,
that's just a setting.
Because I know that it's a setting of whether you can or not.
Yeah.
But I thought that the reason that was he chose not to was because all the matches that he shows are all copyrighted from some other company and he just downloads them off of YouTube and then streams them. So I thought maybe you could get away with a live stream but not get away with having the video stored on your page to be able to watch later.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if it's literally just your webcam and you're just on YouTube just watching stuff or wherever you're watching your stream from, as long as you're not like blatantly like keeping it or making your own YouTube video like out of it, then you should be, I mean, for one, if you make it so people can't play back, no one can like, unless someone is like directly watching and like recording what you're doing, I mean, no one can say anything about it.
There is also,
the video already happened, you've since moved on.
There is also a thing with Twitch, how if there is any copyrighted material in a section, it'll mute everything. It'll mute everything in that little area.
But that probably doesn't happen live, though,
it
right?
does not happen live. But it only happens in VODs. If you save the video and you go back to it and there's copyrighted music in it, it will mute it.
So if me and my friends were to start our own new Howdy Inc. thing of, like, us watching wrestling matches, we would really have to only depend on a live audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's maybe where you get, like, you ask a group of people to do stuff, and then, like, mm-hmm. per episode, there's 10 of you, 3 of you are currently watching, 6 of you are viewers, mm-hmm. and then, like, you, like, spread the word through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, the whole Howdy Inc. spread the word thing has never really worked out very well for us.
Well, maybe you put up a sign at the chicken
that says "Watch Howdy Inc. shows."
Or, I mean, yeah, like cool. just do something like that. I mean, someone's probably gonna notice that no public pooping sign, so yeah. just say they're not. Okay, hold on. I think I'm comparing your content to pooping. That's not what my intention crap. Was. I don't care. But no, you could put a sign up there, and Mama could go to Target and put a sign up on the front of Target, mm-hmm. and just like as people walk in, that's just something that they see. I mean, posters have worked in the past. Posters now more than anything should work now.
That's a good idea. Then I gotta figure out how a couple of us can watch wrestling together at the same time virtually, and then be able to in turn stream it also.
Mm-hmm. I can try to help with that.
Maybe that's like a Google Hangout Zoom thing of like maybe you dedicate a page to what is the videos. So you all can like, you can pin that person who's talking. So you all the three of you can watch or whoever, how many people are on.
One mm-hmm. thing that I do, which I haven't done with anything else, but I've done it with Clone Hero, is it's called a mask. And it's basically just, it blacks out everything else on the screen but one shape. And you can do that if you have a Google Hangouts call. You can make it every shape of each person that is in the thing and put it, like, at each corner or something like that.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, that might be something we think about doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or maybe if it's not, like, a Howdy Inc., like, me and my friends thing, maybe we could just do a couple episodes here, just sitting here watching and talking or something.
Yeah.
For real.
That could be fun.
For sure.
And that's something you could run with, too. That doesn't necessarily have to be, like, wrestling matches. That could be trailers to stuff or trying out music that we're not quite that we all want to like try out.
All of those ideas we've wanted to incorporate into Howdy Radio.
Yeah.
And like we've done like an episode or two like where we did incorporate those things into Howdy Radio, but then we just keep going back to this format of just talking. So we might need to come up, maybe we just come up with something different then. Maybe we come up with a secondary show or something that we do something like that and we can sit here and call it something else or something. I don't
know. Call it the final generation.
Oh, God, that sounds terrible.
Well, no, because that's how most movies work. It's like you have the original trilogy, then you have like
I hate Friday that the name of this thing. Show is a Star Trek reference, by the way, but it sounded really good.
Yeah. But like there's like the original like 3 Friday the 13th, then there's A New Beginning. There's like there's always the original trilogy. And the final
chapter.
Yeah, which was
like number 5 of the series.
But Howdy Radio reinvents itself all the time. That if you call this the final generation, I mean, that could you could still have 5 projects after that, but it's just a cool name.
The next time it would just be the new generation.
Exactly. Or just 7. Or just like you go back to where it's just the title without the word the. Because like usually the first one has the, then it's part 2, part 3, then the reboot is just
Square 3.
The final destination.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, we have definitely rambled on long enough at this point. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Check out our 20 new shows that we just came up with doing in the last 5 minutes that'll never happen.
Yes.
Yep. Cool. We'll see you later.
See ya.